Welcome to Cases from the Community, a special audio program focused on the management of pancreatic cancer that was developed from a satellite CME meeting held at the 2019 Gastrointestinal Cancer Symposium. This is medical oncologist Dr. Neil Love. For this program, we put together a working group of five community-based medical oncologists and asked them to submit challenging cases and questions from their practices, and this served as the framework for the discussion with the faculty at the live meeting in San Francisco. The community oncologists included Drs. Warren Brenner, Yajun Ma, Sulfi Ibrahim, Atif Hussein, and Namrata Peswani. Our faculty for the meeting was Drs. Andrew Hendafar, Eileen O'Reilly, Philip Phillip, and Margaret Tempero. The first module focused on available and emerging research guiding the treatment of resectable or borderline resectable pancreatic cancer. And to begin, we presented a case from our working group of a 66-year-old man with borderline resectable primary pancreatic adenocarcinoma, which had encased 120 degrees of the superior mesenteric vein. Neoadjuvant treatment with FOLFIRINOX resulted in tumor shrinkage, and the patient was able to undergo an R0 resection. The question from the working group was, what was the likelihood of the patient's disease being rendered resectable after neoadjuvant therapy?
First of all, I think we need to talk about what we mean by borderline resectable. So I have the privilege of chairing the NCCN guidelines panel. And 20 years ago, when that started, I had a multidisciplinary team from all the institutions in the NCCN, and I realized right away that the surgeons couldn't agree on what was resectable. And I finally understood that what they were really worried about was an R1 resection. So that's a margin positive resection. That's one thing they really wanted to avoid, because that was like having no surgery at all. And so we came up with the definition of borderline resectable as a result of those discussions. So borderline resectable is resectable. Every borderline resectable patient should go to surgery. Now, true, we believe that you may be able to optimize or minimize the chance of an R1 resection with preoperative therapy, but all of these patients are resectable to begin with.
That's a really interesting perspective. Philip, another question that Dr. Hussein has is the optimal neoadjuvant therapy. This patient got FOLFIRINOX, and a lot of patients certainly do get FOLFIRINOX. Is that usually your approach, Philip? And what about other alternatives such as GEM-NAB?
The neoadjuvant treatment, at this point in time, we're relying on some early studies that were done, pilot trials, and the evidence is probably best we have it for the use of FOLFIRINOX. So I would agree with the use of FOLFIRINOX in a patient like this. And in fact, that would be my own practice at this point in time. In fact, the most recent randomized trial at the national level was using FOLFIRINOX as the induction treatment. The role of the radiation treatment goes back to something which we have to know about borderline resectable. As Dr. Tempero said, these are resectable patients. But with borderline resectable, the surgeon has a higher chance of leaving an R1 resection or leaving something behind microscopic. And for that reason, for a long time, people strongly felt that radiation treatment is a component of the treatment to be given neoadjuvantly. Usually, a few months of chemotherapy, let's say with FOLFIRINOX, and then giving the chemoradiotherapy for surgery. However, recently, that concept may have been challenged by some findings in the national trial, which was led by the Alliance. So at this point in time, although we may feel that based on the recent findings in the trial that radiation treatment is not necessary, I still think that it's something which we cannot rule it out completely.